Listen and stream the all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
This is Lunchtime Doctor, our special health program that features Dr. Sophia Mohammed. We are broadcasting live on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangeet 106.1 FM, Vibe CT 105 FM, and Sky 99.5 FM, courtesy Caribbean Heart Care. Our heart is set on saving lives, and Seaview Optical, affordable eye care for everyone. Dr. Mohammed, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Samantha, and good afternoon to all of our listeners who are tuned in avidly every day for the Lunchtime Doctor. We start a couple minutes late, so we're going to jump straight into the program. We are in that preparation zone, so we are going to be talking a little bit about how you can prepare your family from a safety perspective, and then what can happen thereafter in terms of flooding and your health. But first, we start with our COVID-19 update. Locally, regionally, and around the world. At present, we continue to keep a close eye on those that are hospitalized and the risk factors involved. But what we have noticed from both my patient clientele and persons calling, and of course just persons seeking advice, that those that are unfortunately experiencing symptoms of COVID-19, and that would be a typical respiratory type symptoms, cough, sore throat, runny nose, body pains, fever, with the general antigen test, or those that are available in the pharmacies, or what we call home kits. They may be experiencing symptoms, but the antigen test and the early stages are testing negative. If it is repeated on day 4, day 5 of the symptoms, or the PCR test is done, then that is positive. So there's a high degree of what we categorize false negatives. That has been documented not only in Trinidad and Tobago, but across the world. In fact, WHO has called a convening meeting to discuss this high degree of false negatives, and if it alludes to the fact that there's another variant that these test kits are not picking up. So, just a little bit of cautionary advice to all those who are experiencing respiratory symptoms. Yes, you may want to contribute it to the Sahara dust, but allow and prepare yourself and your family that you may need to go into quarantine or isolation. This is a very virulent or highly contagious virus. So prepare, just like we're preparing for the storm, prepare your family just in case they pick up this highly contagious COVID-19. At present, we're still continuing to see as high as hundreds of thousands new cases reported in countries worldwide every day, and it's very much still part of our paradigm. This has been your COVID-19 update right here on the Lunchtime Doctor.
Thank you very much, Dr. Mohammed. And you are listening to the Lunchtime Doctor with Dr. Sophia Mohammed, who is here and ready to provide answers for all your medical questions. Feel free to give us a call at 627-3223 or 625-2257 and get your medical questions answered live on air. And we do have a caller. Hello and welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor.
Good afternoon, Samantha. Good afternoon, Doc. Trinidad Tobago, Trinity here. Well, I have a problem here. What it is, bags below your eye. Not really heavy, but slight. A couple of years well, you know, had it. What really do you think is the cause and what good for it? I will listen off it.
So what happens, that can be perfectly normal in most cases where there is that what we refer to as puffiness or mild swelling under the eyes. However, what we have also noticed is persons as they age, there's that loss of normal collagen and elastin in the skin. And however, we've also noticed it with our diabetics, it tends to become a lot puffier. So you're actually seeing it as you've described, almost like an overlap of the skin just under the eye. So while that is something that we have noticed across the board, there may be some cases where it's more concerning than the other. It is not the sign, it's really ever the sign of a serious condition. So I don't want you to feel concerned or overly worried about it. However, there are certain signs that the eyes can tell us. If you're noticing any yellowing or yellow deposits or yellow deposition of little, almost like lumps, just on the eyelid, that is called xanthelasma. And that actually is a representation of high cholesterol in the body. And it's something that can be checked out and treated. But if that's not the case and it's just the swelling or the puffiness, cold compressions can help. you can apply. What a lot of women tend to use as well, and it helps very well, is the slices of cucumbers. For myself, especially when I have to wake up early for morning TV, per se, I know I utilize my slice of cucumbers on the eyes because I may not get much sleep. And that's another thing that we need to address. If there isn't quality sleep, then obviously the next day there's a deepening puffiness of the eye. So I hope that answers your question. But do check if you are seeing those yellow deposits, because that's something a little bit more serious. I hope that answers your question.
It's time to do your part and care for your heart. Here's a heart care tip to help you treat your heart right, courtesy Caribbean Heart Care. Our heart is set on saving lives. This heart care tip is presented by Dr. Sophia Mohammed. Dr. Mohammed.
Thank you so much, Samantha. So we want to talk about patients who've either had a heart attack or a stroke. Post-heart attack or stroke, cardiac rehabilitation is crucially important. This typically tends to be a medically supervised program designed to help you recover from a heart attack, where it involves physiotherapy, certain breathing exercise, building or rebuilding your lung capacity, and of course, strengthening that heart muscle. Cardiac rehabilitation has been integral in just about any program for any person who's had a heart attack or a stroke. So if you or your loved one have experienced either one of the above or any sort of pathology because of high blood pressure and it's affected your limbs or any part of the body, know that cardiac rehabilitation should be part of your program in order to optimize your health. This has been your heart health tip right here on the Lunchtime Doctor.
Thank you very much, Dr. Mohammed. And if you have a medical question that you would like answered by Dr. Sophia Mohammed, feel free to give us a call right now using our hotline numbers, or you can send your medical question via WhatsApp, and that number is 306-1065, 306-1065.
Let's also encourage our other callers, the lines are now open for the other callers, but to all those who are tuning in, when it comes to your eyes are incredibly sensitive, and little interference with it, because of how sensitive it is, can unfortunately impact it in a dramatic way. We encourage that any interaction or any interference with the eyes must be in as sterile and as hygienic as possible. If, however, you notice discolorations of your eye, if there's any vision deficits, get it checked out, because those things are very crucial.
And we do have a medical query that comes via WhatsApp. It reads, hi, doctor, good day. I am 57 years old. My fasting sugar in the morning is 120, and after a meal, 2 hours after, it is 110. Is that good? I also walk 45 minutes every day. Thank you.
You know, I love when our caller is sending their values. So first up, congratulations for knowing what is your fasting and knowing the 2 hour after meal. To any one of our listeners who are tuned in, that is the correct time to give us an idea of your sugar control. So your fasting caller is excellent. 120 milligrams per deciliter is an excellent value. The 110 post meals, I'm pretty certain that's because you took your medications, and that also anything under 150, 140, I'm comfortable with. The value that I become a little bit concerned is if it goes over 180, which is your pre-diabetic, or if it goes over 200. So to all those who are listening, we check our sugar levels as a fasting blood first thing in the morning. And if you would like, 2 hours after your meal. Now note, that would also be after you've taken your medication. So you take your medication, be it your tablets or the insulin, and after you've had your meal, 2 hours, we call it a 2 hour postprandial. That gives us a very good idea as to how the body is metabolizing the glucose within the food and, of course, utilizing the components in the medication to alter or manage the levels of sugars circulating within the system. So thank you so much, caller. Those are great values. Continue with your healthy habits.
And we have a caller. Hello and welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor.
Hi, good afternoon. I want to know if you have a private office so that someone could get to you, or if you intend to, let us know via. Thank you very much.
So thank you so much, caller. Yes, I do, but at present, we're so swamped with the various patients, with COVID patients in particular, and managing a couple companies. You're welcome to send your message right here onto WhatsApp, or you can jump on the social media pages and send a message. It will come directly to me. I hope that answers your question.
And we do have another caller. Hello and welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor.
Yes, good afternoon. Can you tell me how do you go about, or what is the purpose of an echo stress test? And also, how do you go about doing tests for blood circulation? Thank you.
Two excellent questions. So let's jump into the first one, the echo test. Many times we hear we have to get an ECG or echo, etc. So an echo is just like we're accustomed to hearing about an ultrasound, it's an amplified ultrasound. It's very much a scan of the heart, and it allows us the opportunity to look in a deep way at the blood vessels, at the anatomy. So we're looking at the functioning of the heart. It is, as we talked about, just like an ultrasound. So there's a probe. You would have to be lying. You'd have to be booked that appointment, of course, lying in a comfortable way. And then we attach certain monitors to the system, and utilizing the probe, place it over your heart and then scan that area. Now, you ask another question. How do we check circulation? Now, circulation is a term we use loosely here in Trinidad and Tobago. One, we'd want to check your blood pressure. That's an important value. Very, very basic, and you can check that at home. Two, we'd want to do a general examination. I tend to look first and foremost at person's hands, eyes, and feet. And why the feet? Because I can look and see if they have swelling or pooling of fluids around the ankles. Some of the investigations we would tend to do is we also do an ECG. That is an electrocardiogram. How is the ECG different from the echo? The echo looks more structurally. If you want to imagine, it's almost like looking at a building. You're looking at the different layers and levels of the building. Versus the ECG, it looks at the electrical conductivity of the heart. So an ECG and an echo comes together, and it's very useful information. There are other investigations, but a little too detailed for us to go into on the radio program here. However, I will suggest if you are having any sort of concerns with your circulation or with blood pressure, please get it checked out. The earlier we can get that and get your blood pressures under control, the less effects it has on the major organs of the body, like the heart and the brain, and of course, kidneys. Yes, an increased blood pressure or poor circulation can also affect the kidneys. And then we know how many persons we've had on dialysis. So that puts it a little bit of perspective. I hope that answers your question.
It's time for a special tip to help you keep your eyes happy and healthy. This eye care tip is presented by Dr. Sophia Mohammed. Dr. Mohammed.
So in today's eye tip, we're going to chat a little bit more about what we mentioned earlier, where the caller asked about different marks around the eye. One in particular is that yellow deposits. It looks almost like a yellow pigment. It may be at the corners of the eye. It may be on the eyelids. It tend to be noticed more on the upper eyelids. If you notice almost like some small fine little bumps that has a yellow in color on the eyelids, that actually is cholesterol deposits, and it is an indicator of high cholesterol circulating within your body. It's so elevated that now there are external deposits. It's called xanthelasma. And very much treatable. If you notice this around your eye, please do not delay. Get it checked out, because it could be that same cholesterol could be blocking your arteries, flow of blood, not only to your heart, to your eyes, and to all of the organs. So if you notice these plaques or these deposits around your eye, it's actually a measure of your heart health. So let's pay attention of our eyes, and we'll notice as well how well we can improve our heart. This is both a tip that covers heart and our eye care. Right here on the Lunchtime Doctor.
Thank you, Dr. Mohammed. And that was a special eye care tip.
Join the chat now on the all-new Freedom on the all-new Talk Radio 106.5.
You are listening to the Lunchtime Doctor with Dr. Sophia Mohammed, who is here and ready to provide answers for all your medical questions. We do have a medical query that comes via WhatsApp. It says, "Hi, good day, doctor. Is it normal to see your period for at least 9 days for a 13-year-old girl?"
Thank you so much for sending in that particular question. At that age, because it's a period, the menstruation cycle is now starting, it takes a little time for it to synchronize to a normal routine, which is typically 3 to 5 days. If your daughter has started menstruating from earlier on, let's say an average age of 11, then that's a 2-year window. 9 days on the whole is not normal, first and foremost. Let's also be wary that she may be having feelings or signs and symptoms of anemia. She may be easily fatigued and certainly will need that level of optimization, either in nutrition or she may need some hematinix, iron tablets. 9 days, if it repeats, I would definitely get that checked out by her gynecologist or your healthcare professional. If, however, she's just started a period, let's say she started a period at age 12, then that's still within that 1-year time frame of getting the cycles within a proper synchrony. So I wouldn't be too concerned. So one, it determines on when the age of onset of menstruation was and how frequent the cycles come. And then, of course, if this is the very first time. If it's the first time, I wouldn't be too concerned. If it repeats again, then certainly get that checked out.
And if you have a medical question that you would like answered by Dr. Sophia Mohammed, feel free to give us a call at 627-3223, 627-3223, or 625-2257, 625-2257. And we do have a caller. Hello and welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor.
Hello, Dr. Mohammed, Samantha. You were talking about the deposits on the eye. You mentioned something about cardiac rehabilitation for people who suffer from a heart attack or a stroke. What exactly is the cardiac rehabilitation? What would that involve?
Thank you so much. What we mentioned previously about the eyes was in relation to the caller asking about certain changes he noticed around his eye. When we talked about now cardiac rehabilitation, that is definitely for anyone after they've experienced a stroke or a heart attack. It tends to be a physiotherapy-based based treatment where there is certain investigations done on the heart and then, of course, a reintegration to normal functioning. It may be an occupational therapist involved as well and specific exercises to strengthen the heart. If the person experienced a stroke, then those specific exercises would be targeted to the limbs that were involved. Any sort of cardiac rehabilitation, we recommend highly post-stroke or heart attack. I hope that answers your question.
And if you have a question for Dr. Sophia Mohammed, feel free to give us a call using our hotline numbers, or you can send that medical question via WhatsApp to the number 306-1065, 306-1065. And we do have another caller. Hello and welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor.
Good afternoon. Well, Dr. Sophia, you are doing such a wonderful program, and your voice is so gentle, it makes everybody want to call you. Okay, my problem is that I'm asthmatic, and I find that whenever I eat, I don't breathe properly, but the feeling goes away after a little while. What is happening here?
Yeah, thank you so much for calling. When it comes to everyone who listens, and you know my heart is soft for just about all the patients. I've been in medicine for almost 18 years and I've worked in the ICU high trauma areas. And I wish we could really, and I not wish, I think we're able now with the teams that we have translating those wishes into action, into really improving some of the outreach care to persons who are not able to access healthcare. It will take time. It will take a lot of strategy and a lot of support. With respect to your specific question and all the asthmatics who may be tuned in, when it comes to sleeping, that can be problematic. I would suggest you sleep with either an elevation at your head so that there isn't what happens in the flat area where you're lying down. There may be difficulty for proper circulation of your respiratory pathways. We've seen with those who've had a little bit of an elevation, they do get a little bit more comfort. However, if you're sleeping in an air-conditioned environment, the AC, however, dries the environment, and that may also dry your pathway and also worsen any sort of breathing or respiratory dysfunction. What we recommend to our asthmatics is they can indeed utilize a home humidifier, or they can create one just within their bedroom. And a simple way to do that is just using a large basin, pour some steaming hot water, put it into the room, close the door, and that steam almost humidifies the bedroom. If you want, you can add some lightly scented. Some persons may add lavender, depending. Or if you do have that stuffiness, they may add menthol, peppermint. We don't want to be overly excessive and burn the pathways now. Even if you would like to, you can use that home humidifier as something you use as an inhalation technique prior to going to sleep. All of that helps tremendously, especially with our asthmatics. I do hope you also secure your inhalers and you know where they are and easy access to them. And before the end of the program, we are going to talk a little bit about healthcare preparations for a storm. I hope that answers your question.
Here's a wellness tip to help you create a happier, healthier you in 2022, Dr. Mohammed.
So our wellness tip comes from looking at our emotional wellness. We talked about stress. We talked about sleep. Let's look at how we can strengthen our social connections. Social connections help protect and enlighten our lives. In fact, scientists have shown that the more social networks and links to person you have in a powerful, positive way can indeed impact on your life in a physical way. Those social connections can be your family, your friends, those at work, or even just those that you can depend on within your religious sector. How can you build healthy social supports? You want to be able to give yourself to your friends in that social supporting system the same way you would need that social support. So if you're a family caregiver, know that you can also offer help as well as ask for help. You may even want to take a class and learn something new that creates new social connections, or even volunteer. In creating social support system, you are attending to your well-being by giving of yourself. Strong social connections not only improve your ties, but it improves your physical and mental wellness. This has been your wellness tip right here on The Lunchtime Doctor.
Thank you very much, Dr. Mohammed, for sharing that wellness tip with us. And we do have a medical query that comes via WhatsApp. It says, good day, doctor. I recently got my eyes tested. I was given a reference letter for further examination. However, I have made an appointment, but was unable to keep the appointment due to the weather conditions. Well, I would like to know if there are any treatments for the same. The person has sent you a copy of the reference letter, Dr. Mohammed.
Right. So when it comes to taking care of our eyes, the test would have shown, and this particular was sent to the WhatsApp. So for all those who are wondering, it's sent directly to our WhatsApp. The external examination, the fundoscopy, shared age-related macular degeneration. That is something that is indeed treatable, but you would need your ophthalmologist in particular. So, I'm sorry you missed the appointment. I'm sure it won't be that difficult for you to call in again to the company that you would have done the investigation at. And of course, then let the ophthalmologist move forward with the treatment. Understand anything. So, if you probably let me explain a little bit on what is age-related macular degeneration. The eye itself has several components. We know very much about the lens and the cornea, and we know about the eyelids because we see it all the time. That's at the front of the eye. Towards the back of the eye now, there's parts of the eye called the retina and then the macula. The macula and retina are highly vascularized, where all of the blood vessels enter. And that's where, unfortunately, there is damage, not only with age, but through diabetes. As that area worsens, the blood vessels weakens in support and unfortunately affects your vision. In light of the fact that the report that you sent, it already shows signs age-related macular degeneration. So I suggest to you, reschedule the appointment, allow the ophthalmologist or opticians to guide the process of what drops would be remediable for this particular condition. And of course, if next steps are necessary. Next steps tend to be surgery. And I'm sorry that I have to be the first one. I hope I'm not the first one to be telling you that. Please don't be afraid. We've had many patients undergo eye surgery. Some procedures can be in the out. right? If you want to get a second opinion, all of that is possible. But don't sit on a report like this. Take the next steps. Be brave. Take the next steps and seek treatment. You did really well in already getting the screening part. So thank you so much who's called in and asked about this.
And we do have another medical query that comes via WhatsApp. This one says, when is the best time to take your metformin medication, before or after a meal?
You can take it just before, 10 to 15 minutes before, but it's typically taken right after the meal. However, I don't want any of my listeners to take metformin and then get so busy with whatever daily activities, they slip their mind to eat. And yes, I'm not joking. This is a real life scenario. We actually had a healthcare professional who unfortunately had polycystic ovarian syndrome, took their metformin, got very busy with seeing other patients. So remember to take the medication, but forgot to eat. And unfortunately had a hypoglycemic attack where they felt very dizzy and unfortunately fainted away. So take your metformin about 10 to 15 minutes right after your meal. If you do take it before, please remember to eat. And another program, I believe, we're going to go through some of the hypoglycemic signs and symptoms when your sugar levels go too low. So thank you so much, listener, for sending in that very important question.
It's time to learn how to care for yourself. Here's a personal hygiene tip to help you care for your body. And this personal hygiene tip is presented by Dr. Sophia Mohammed. Dr. Mohammed.
So today, in light of the storm preparations, be particularly concerned with food you eat, especially after a flood. Unfortunately, vegetables and crops after flooding may be covered with a lot more bacteria and viruses that were not from pathogens that we may not be familiar with or healthy to our system. Proper washing of these vegetables are important in preparation because they unfortunately may have waterborne diseases. Also, pay particular attention to your hand and personal hygiene in handling flood items. If you're taking out any carpets, linens, furniture that may be affected by flood, ensure you're either wearing gloves or wash hands thoroughly after taking care of such items. Remember, there are waterborne diseases like leptospirosis, an increase in typhoid, malaria, dengue. So we call those vector-borne and then, of course, waterborne diseases that tend to surface right after flood times. These are just a few. We'll talk more about it. But taking care of your hygiene is crucially important, especially after storms that predispose areas to flood. This is your hygiene tip right here on The Lunchtime Doctor.
Thank you very much, Dr. Mohammed, for that insightful personal hygiene tip. And a reminder that if you do have a question, you can call us at 627-3223 or 625-2257. Or you can send your medical question via WhatsApp, and that number is 306-1065. We do have a message sent via WhatsApp that says, hello, good day. In relation to the young girls getting their period, my daughter just turned 13 and she got her period a month before that. Is it that her period is not going to regulate for a year because it is not every 28 or 30 days? I would just like to know if that is normal.
Excellent question. So the time frame 1 year is just very much an overarching. It may regulate in the first 3 months. However, we have had some patients regulate in the first 5 months, 6 months. If there isn't some sort of regulation after that time, I would say comfortably after the year, then certainly see a healthcare professional. However, if she's having extensive days, as that previous caller, because that caller shared her daughter was having 9 days, anything more than 5 days is where I'd become a little concerned. Certainly, go get it checked out. Have a conversation with a healthcare professional because she may be losing a little too much blood and that may be needed to optimize. So I hope that answers your question.
And we do have a caller. Hello and welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor.
Hello, good afternoon. I'd like to find out what is the function of a pacemaker.
I believe I heard pacemaker.
That is correct. You heard pacemaker.
Yes, fantastic. So for those who are not too sure, replace a pacemaker. It's a small device that's placed surgically into the heart. As you would recall, I talked about the electrical conductivity of the heart. Yes, there is indeed within certain parts of the heart that stimulus, that electrical conductivity. And if there is any disruption of it, where the heart may be beating too quickly, and that's called an arrhythmia, or even if the heart beats really quickly, where it enters a fibrillation, so that's atrial fibrillation, a pacemaker is necessary. It typically is a small device that surgically, understand that very carefully, there is a surgical intervention that's placed within the heart to prevent the heart from beating too quickly or, in some cases, too slowly. Yes, there are cases where the heart rate is typically slower, so it's not enough of a beat to keep pumping the amount of blood throughout the body. That particular procedure is done after a number of investigations by your cardiac team. So if you need more information on it, there tends to be, based on the condition, it may be placed in a single chamber pacemaker. It may even have a dual chamber pacemaker. So there are different types of pacemaker and there are different placements as well based on the condition. So have the conversation with your cardiologist if this is something that you maybe unfortunately have to undergo.
And we do have another question that comes via WhatsApp. This one says, good day, doctor. Is sweet potato okay to eat every day, 2 to 3 slices?
So sweet potato, it certainly is better than normal potatoes and definitely has a better glycemic index than rice. Every day, I'll probably do 3 to 4 times a week rather than every day. If you are, however, balancing it out with your portions of fruit and vegetable, then sure, it's okay to have. And of course, including that healthy plate, your proteins. Sweet potato does give a good volume of complex carbohydrates. So that provides enough energy for the body. So you provided a good source there, but just not as frequent. You can have it every day if you're balancing the plate. Hope that answers the question.
And you have been listening to The Lunchtime Doctor with Dr. Safia Mohammed, who has been answering your medical questions live on air on those questions that you phoned in using the numbers 627-3223, 627-3223, and 625-2257. You also sent your medical questions via WhatsApp to the number 306-1065, 306-1065. Dr. Mohammed.
So as we wrap up today, I just want to caution everyone to stay safe. Stay indoors if you can. If unfortunately your place is affected by flood, please remember any food items that become contaminated by the flood, be thrown out. These food items can have a high risk to your health. In particular, within your farming, if those food unfortunately gets affected, then that can be washed thoroughly before usage. If there's any flooding within your homes, try your best to maintain the hygiene of your hands, washing there properly. We've seen so much waterborne disease, in particular, typhoid and leptospirosis. Then, of course, malaria, dengue, when it comes to the waterborne diseases. So ensure you are protected as possible. Protect your security items. And of course, our little ones and our treasured, our animals at home, even if it's livestock. So I know everyone is on guard. Stay tuned to Freedom because there would be more updates throughout the day. Thank you so much for tuning in to The Lunchtime Doctor and sending your questions. And of course, to the entire TBC team that makes this program possible.
Thank you very much, Dr. Mohammed. And that was Lunchtime Doctor, which is our special health program featuring Dr. Safia Mohammed. She joins us on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays from 12 noon to 1 p.m., where she answers your healthcare questions, questions that you call in using the hotline numbers 627-3223 or 625-2257, 625-2257. And we will be broadcasting live on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangeet 106.1 FM, Vibe City 105 FM, and Sky 99.5 FM.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.